Are you ready to ignite your business and achieve your full potential? Welcome to Building Success Stories, the podcast that empowers entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm Ann Donnelly, your host, and I've spent over 4 decades in the business world. I've witnessed firsthand the power of perseverance, innovation, and strategic thinking. In this podcast, we'll explore the stories of successful entrepreneurs and business leaders, and we'll delve into the practical strategies and mindset shifts that can propel your business to new heights. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and equipped with the tools you need to build a thriving business. I'm here with Kara McGoolahan, principal of KMCG LLC and chief sustainability officer of the Mulford Corporation. KMCG is a consultancy dedicated to facilitating capital projects for nonprofits, government entities, and small businesses. Hello, Kara.
Hi.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
for meeting me. Tell me a little bit more about what KMCG does.
Sure. So we are a strategic consultancy and we help nonprofits, small governments make their capital projects happen. So the idea behind what we do is so that nonprofits and small governments don't have to put aside their day jobs to learn all about construction when they want to do a capital project. So if they want to build a building, if they want to do a renovation, if they want to do an addition to their current building, we help facilitate that process so that they can focus on their programming and their mission, and they can leave the construction process to us.
So you help bring that expertise in where they're probably already understaffed, right? And so they don't have the time to learn about all these things. So you come in with the expertise. Do you just provide consulting or do you help with implementation and things like that?
Yeah, so we do everything except for design and construction. So we help you with your procurement to find the right designers that fit your project and your organization. We help facilitate the documentation that it takes to go through design, permitting, and getting all of your approvals so that you can actually start construction. And then we help you procure the right construction partner to help you get your job done. So whether that be us being the general contractors and helping you with all of your subcontractors, or bringing a general contractor partner onto the job. And then we help facilitate construction management and all of the documentation that it takes to do the actual construction and coordinate with your funder so that you can get your contractors paid. And then we help you, you know, occupy the building and with that turnover process.
Okay. And do you also help with the getting the grant money?
Yeah.
I saw you did some of that too.
Yeah. We help with fundraising and capital raising. So we'll build your capital stack and help you, you know, coordinate with funders and get investors on board and make sure that you can do what you want to do within the budget that you have, or, you know, go out and get some more money for whatever you want to do.
So you have an engineering background.
Yes.
So how did you get What started your interest in engineering?
Yeah, so I started as a mechanical engineer. I went to Binghamton University. I thought I wanted to go into automotive engineering. That is not where I landed. I landed at a government contractor. And so I did nuclear reactors for submarines and aircraft carriers for the Navy at the beginning of my career. And I decided that that is not what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And so I moved more into building systems engineering. So I was really focused on green building, high performance building, things like LEED and passive house. And that was sort of my foray into construction. I spent a couple of years designing those systems and project managing that construction process. And then I decided that I wanted to get into the kind of ground level decision making. And so I went to law school because I figured,
right,
yep, yeah. they're lawyers at all of those tables. You know, that's kind of where I thought I wanted to be. And so I got my law degree at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh. And then my husband and I are from New York, so we were looking to make the move back to New York. And I was looking for jobs really focused on either construction law or project management, or I had a couple of leads in NYSERDA, which is the State Energy and Research Authority. And I started sending my resume around and Mulford grabbed me. So that's how I started my business. I started KMCG with a single client in mind.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's brings us to where we are today.
And now you've built it up. So you're originally from the city area.
I'm from Yonkers. Yeah.
You're from Yonkers. How long have you been living in this area?
Since 2022.
So are most of your clients down in the city? Because you've recently won the Business Council of Westchester 40 Under 40.
That's a great achievement.
Yeah, it was really exciting. We had a big party at an airport, so it was cool.
So you're doing great with this. So, and how long have you had your own consultancy?
So I've had KMCG since 2023.
And do you focus on sustainable buildings?
The impetus for starting our company was really to help. I help the Yonkers Housing Authority and the Mulford Corporation build green buildings. And that was really spearheaded by their CEO and president, Wilson Kimball. She was very focused on having all the new construction that they were doing be as sustainable and as resilient as possible. And so I had that expertise to bring to her and her team. And that's, you know, why they brought me on board. But that's where my career has been focused all along, is trying to build the most resilient and sustainable buildings possible so that they last longer, so that they're more comfortable, and so that they're equipped to handle the changing climate that we have. Because these old buildings that we have, we know are not going to sustain us for the next 50 to 100 years. They just were not built that way. And we need to change the way that we build so that we can prepare for what's coming.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
You also speak. I saw your speak. You spoke at a conference earlier this year. Do you do that much?
Yes. We do a lot of conferences, mostly to showcase the projects that we're working on, which are, you know, cutting edge in terms of where construction and affordable housing is going. I think green building is and high performance building is pretty prevalent in affordable housing right now because there are incentives to do that. But that's just one sector of the construction industry. It's not like we're building passive house buildings for every single structure that we build. And that's where we need to head if we're going to make these buildings and homes last as long as, you know, we're sitting in my house, which was built in 1890. And luckily for us, we have become stewards of it after the previous owners had already insulated and upgraded to high performance HVAC and infrastructure. So these are the types of things that we need to be focused on and not just building as fast as we can.
Yeah, because of these old buildings were not built for those sorts of things.
Right.
And so there's a lot of other care you need to take.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like you said, especially with the changing weather.
Yes, it's getting hotter in the summer and colder in the winter. And so if we can control our environments, we'll be more comfortable, we'll be healthier. There's so many other benefits than just saving energy to building this way. And that's what we're advocating for.
Yeah. And I can see also, like, do you find that with these types of buildings, then energy costs for the people that are using those buildings are lower too? So
yes.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win because, you know, a lot of affordable housing developers will take over maintenance and operations once the building is complete. If you put in that extra investment at the front end, you'll pay less in electricity costs at the back end and utility costs at the back end, and your tenants will be more comfortable and less susceptible to these extreme weather events. We have, you know, rising utilities. We had a 30% increase year over year for the past 3 years downstate. And it's really affecting the way these buildings perform, you know, economically. They just can't sustain those rising bills between rising utility costs and rising insurance costs. It's kind of astronomical. And we can't raise the rents to keep up with that.
So you've done a lot of work with the affordable housing.
Yeah.
What other types of organizations have you worked with?
So mainly I'm in affordable housing right now. We're trying to get into the nonprofit space. We're talking to a couple clients downstate that run community centers, like think of like YMCAs or PALs. All of these community-centric places that are open to the public that help foster community and build, you know, strong cities like Glens Falls, like Yonkers, they need capital improvements that, you know, if we're going to be open to the public, we want them to continue to be a public amenity, but it's not like we can, you know, charge a ton of money to help fundraise for those capital projects.
Yeah, that's always the hard balance, I think. And a lot of nonprofits are struggling, particularly at this time right now. Hopefully that will ease up in time. And if you have knowledge of funding sources, that's a good plus for them bringing you in.
Yes, definitely.
But yeah, I understand that it is hard sometimes when you're working with a nonprofit to charge what you really feel your value is because you feel for them.
And yeah.
They need the help.
Yeah, definitely. Luckily, there is a lot of public funding that can help, you know, usher them along the way. But the nonprofit space is so mission driven, and the people that work at these nonprofits are so engaged in their mission and their work day to day that once you throw a capital project into the mix, it's like there are not enough hours in the day.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially a building project.
Right.
Because that just takes over your whole life.
It takes over your whole life. And a lot of the, you know, professional consultants that will help you that you need to complete these capital projects, they speak a totally different language. It's yeah. very difficult for somebody who's never spoken to an architect or an engineer before to look at architectural and engineering drawings and really understand what they say. And that's what our value add is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of translate. This is what this means for the building. You know, you're going to walk in here and, you know, you can walk through the floor plans with them and tell them all of the things that are really difficult to get out of an architectural drawing itself.
Yeah. I mean, it's a smart business strategy to focus on a niche like you have.
Yeah.
But do you consider taking on other projects?
I have not thus far.
People are always looking for good project managers for building projects.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you need someone that's like a buffer between you and the other people that you don't know what they're doing. And it's a lot of money.
Yeah. So we specialize in really being the owner's representative for these smaller yeah. or nonprofit yeah. partners because, you know, owner's reps exists everywhere in the for-profit yeah. and the nonprofit industry. But I think the for-profit industry, they've kind of got it nailed down
yeah.
in their processes.
Yeah.
Like they'll either work for the contractor mm-hmm. and they'll have a liaison between the owner and the contractor, and that's how they'll do their business. And I think that's kind of missing in the nonprofit space right now.
So I did a little bit of research and I found out that you have been interested in charitable causes from a young age. So I saw an article where when you were 16, you raised money to help build a school in Ghana.
Yes.
And you ended up going out there. So have you just always had a passion for helping and providing support for those less fortunate?
Yeah. I mean, I think when my mom was a prisoner's rights lawyer.
Well, that's very exciting.
Yeah. So we've always kind of been rooted in this, like, if you're mm-hmm. going to spend your life and dedicate your career to doing something, you have to, you know, be proud of that at the end of the day mm-hmm. and, you know, stand behind the purpose for what you're doing. And mm-hmm. I think when I started my career, I was working for the government, and it was very bureaucratic and slow moving, which is not my speed at all.
Right.
I like to move. I like yeah. to go fast. And I just couldn't get behind the why of the going into work every day and spending 8 hours looking at, you know, stuff for defense.
Yeah.
And so I think growing up in a household that really was very focused on giving back to the community and being mm-hmm. proud and involved in your community, that was really formative for me.
Yeah. And now you've carried that into your life now and your career.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So you went from working for large organizations and now you have your own business. So what were the challenges that you found when you went out on your own?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the Wild West out here. I don't have any playbook for what my business will do next. I try and, you know, make strategic moves and reach out to leaders who I think align with my values mm-hmm. as a business owner and as KMCG, but it's kind of every day is a different day and you never know what's coming next. And you really have to be adaptive and agile, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Because like you were saying, like when you go in every day and you're putting in your 8 hours, it's definitely the opposite of that.
Yeah.
When you have your own business.
Yeah. The monotony, I think, really got to me when I came out of college and I started working like a 9-to-5 and waking up every single day and doing the same exact thing every single day. I was like, is this going to be the next 40 years of my life? Because I cannot do it this way.
No. So you took control.
Yeah. Right. And it's so fun. Like, you meet the most interesting and kind people that help you along the way. And, you know, you can help solve their problems and they can help you move along in your career. And that's, I mean, I think that's like one of the coolest things about starting my own business that I love is like, you get to explore and you get to innovate and you get mm-hmm. to really decide like how you want to live your life, which is really cool.
I want to thank Kara so much for spending the time with me to talk about her consulting business and her work with sustainable buildings. But I also want to give a shout out to her other project, which is coming to downtown Glens Falls in January. Kara and her husband, Matt, are opening a shop called Hometown, which is going to have some furnishings, home decor, gifts, some food items. They are modeling it like on a local general store. They're having some pop-ups in the lead up to Christmas. This Sunday, they're doing a shop and sip or sip and shop at Spot in downtown Glens Falls. But I think it's going to be a great addition to the downtown, especially in that newly developed area on South Street. So best of luck to Kara and Matt on that.
Thank you for joining me in this episode of Building Success Stories. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? I've got you covered. Visit my website, AnnDonnellySuccessStories.com, to access additional resources and sign up for my newsletter. And to work with me directly, visit AnnDonnelly.com to learn more about my services as a fractional COO and business consultant. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform and never miss an episode. Until next time, keep building your success story.